Proverbs chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 13 through 18. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Amen. Let's pray and ask God to help us meditate on His Word this morning. Father, thank You that You are wisdom. Thank You that You gave us wisdom in the flesh in Jesus. Father, thank You that we find wisdom in Your Word. God, we thank You that Jesus rose from the dead today, and we celebrate that resurrection today. We thank You that in Him, in His life and death and resurrection, we have new life. And we pray, Lord God, that You would more and more mold and shape our minds, that we have the mind of Christ and we have the wisdom of Christ and we live it out in our daily lives. So help us and teach us now by Your Spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen. How do you get a young man excited and motivated to do something? You can excite him and motivate him to action with the promise of the companionship of a beautiful young woman. In our text today, the king of Israel is again instructing his son about what he should seek after above all else. Wisdom. And the king describes wisdom in terms of a beautiful, precious woman. Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom. And our king, God Almighty, our king, is allowing us to overhear this instruction from the king to his son, and we are to hear this as God's instruction to us. His God-breathed word is telling us what to seek after and find more than anything else. God's wisdom. And the first thing that we see in our text in verse 13, blessed are those who find wisdom. Look at verse 13 again. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. What does this word blessed mean, or blessed? What does it mean to be blessed? It's like happy, but more than happy. You see, you can be happy, but really have all kinds of reasons why you should not be happy. You may be ignorant of those reasons, or you may not just care about those reasons, but you are really happy. You have all these good feelings inside, but the outside is sort of saying you shouldn't be very happy. It's like the people who are having a party in a house, and they're just so happy and playing music and eating food and dancing, and they don't know that they're being surrounded by robbers with guns and knives who are on the brink of breaking into the house and stealing, killing, and destroying. But they're really happy up until that moment. Or it's like the people on the Titanic. You remember the great ship, the Titanic, that was the unsinkable ship, but then sank because it hit an iceberg. Those people were very happy. And they did not know that they had struck an iceberg, and they were many going to perish. So being blessed is more than just happy. Blessed means that you are happy and you have every reason to be happy because your circumstances are well taken care of by the God who rules the world and works all things for your good. Blessed means you are happy, you have good, happy feelings on the inside because everything is good on the outside because your God rules the outside. Blessed means it's all good all the time because your God has the whole world in His hands. Blessed means it's all taken care of and you don't have to worry. Blessed means you will be filled with joy because everything in your life is headed toward fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore one day in God's very presence. And trusting in God, following God, obeying God, submitting to God's wisdom, that's what brings the most joy, the most happiness, the most satisfaction, and the most blessedness. And the first step in submitting to God's wisdom is to see your failure to live out the wise life and come to the one who did perfectly live out the wise life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for those of you who are here this morning who are not believers, we're glad that you're here. And we want you to know the bad news and the good news. And the bad news is that all people, men, women, and children, we have all failed to live the wise, godly life. We have failed to be wise according to God's standards with our lives, with our finances, with our thoughts, with the way that we spend our time, with what we delight in and what we do. We've failed to live the wise life and we've sinned and offended this good and holy God. And because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we deserve the wages of our sin, which is death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The reason there's death in the world is because of sin. And we will all die. And the Bible says after death comes judgment. Well, we will give an account for every word we've spoken. Every word we've tweeted. Every word we've Facebooked. Every word we've thought. We will give an account to Almighty God who knows all and sees all. Friend, you can hide all kinds of things coming to church. You can hide all kinds of things from me, from other church members. You can't hide anything from God. He knows everything. And one day you and I will stand before Him to give an account. And friend, if we are just in and of ourselves, we are doomed to destruction and hellfire forever and ever. But you see, there's good news. The good news is Jesus, wisdom incarnate, came to earth and lived a perfectly obedient life, lived the wise, godly life in every thought, word, and deed, obeyed God's law, and died on that cross. He received the wages of death, though He did not deserve them. He took our place on the cross, suffered the wrath and curse of God, and rose up on the third day, so that if you turn from your sins and believe in Him, He will save you. He will forgive you and grant you the mind of Christ that you might then live the wise, godly life. Friends, that's the gospel. We want you to know that gospel, embrace that gospel, believe that gospel, live according to that gospel. If that's a new message for you, please come and find me afterwards. Find another member of the church and talk to them about the gospel. We want you to know that and believe in Him. You can cry out to Him right now. Save me, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Cause me to be born again. You don't have to come up to the front and have an altar call. God is so powerful, He can save you right where you sit, right now. But I would encourage you to do so now. Don't wait. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. And we trust in Him. We're forgiven. And then He brings us to His Word to learn how to live the wise, godly life. And we see, secondly, that not only are we blessed, we're blessed, but this wisdom is precious. We see the preciousness of wisdom God's wisdom. Look at verses 14 through 15 of chapter 3. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Friends, human priorities of where preciousness is placed are often just plain wrong. Human priorities of where preciousness is placed are often just plain wrong. I don't want to make you feel guilty about watching football today, but think about the priorities of American culture. We pay the big bucks to grown men who play games. Who play games while the teachers at Olney Charter High School trying to teach and pour into children get paid nothing. Friends, what does that say about our culture? We're drunk with games and fun. And in light of reality, it's nothing. It's nothing. We put so much effort, these stadiums and money and these worship temples all around the country and pour so much money into these things. And they're games. Little games. Oh, friends, human priorities are so often mixed up about what is precious, what is good, what is holy, what is right. And this passage makes clear to us what is the most precious priority and what will grant us the greatest gain, the greatest profits in this life and in the life to come, come from God's wisdom. Jesus often sought to show us what is of greatest preciousness. In Matthew 16, 26, Jesus said, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" Friend, what does it matter if you gain millions of dollars and lose your soul? What does it gain? You gain nothing. Matthew 13:44, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hid in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." That's how precious God's wisdom is, the wisdom of the kingdom of God. Or verses 45 and 46, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great price went and sold all that he had and bought it." This is the riches and the value of God's wisdom, of God Himself, of His Son Jesus, of salvation in Him. There is great gain from silver and gold, but godly wisdom is better than all the gold and silver in the world. Jewels are precious, but godly wisdom is more precious. And verse 15 says, "Nothing you desire can compare with her." Nothing you desire can compare with her. What do you desire today more than anything? You know, I ask myself that question, and there's a frontal answer to that question for Pastor Joseph. A right answer, because he's been to Sunday school. But if Joseph thinks about, what does he think about when he wakes up and when he goes to sleep? What does he daydream about most often throughout the day? What does he know if he heard this news? He would be skipping and laughing and jumping and be so excited. What in his past has made him so happy and so excited? Look at Joseph's checkbook and see where he spends most of his money. Think about Joseph's week. Where did he spend most of his time? Those are some things we ought to think about when we ask the question, what do you desire most? What do you desire the most? What if you could have it would bring you the most joy and happiness? What do you think about the most, dream about the most, hope for in this life the most? What do you get most excited about? Whatever that is, that, whatever it is, cannot compare with the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus. It can't. It cannot compare. There's no comparison. Wisdom, the wisdom of God, is precious. and we ought to seek and find it. In the next verses, we see the rewards of wisdom. Look at verses 16 through 17. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And I'm going to go through those three tiered understandings of these rewards as I did last time. That there is a reward in this life that we are promised here. That there is a reasonable consequence from this passage, and then there's an ultimate reward. So, reward in this life. There's long life in wisdom's right hand. Long life on this earth is a good gift from God, and He does promise that those who find God's wisdom and live according to God's wisdom, live the godly, wise life, they will generally be rewarded with long life in this world. Riches. Riches are a good gift from God, and those who live the godly, wise life will be blessed by God, who will supply all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Honor. If you live the wise life, God will honor you. 1 Samuel 2:30 says, God says, "For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Pleasantness and peace are promised to those who hold tight to God's wisdom. Isaiah 26:3, speaking to God, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." As you stayed your mind on the Lord and his wisdom, you will have perfect peace because you trust in him. There is reward in this life. There are reasonable consequences from living the godly, wise life. Long life. If you live the godly, wise life and don't sleep around, generally you are less likely to get STD diseases and die young. Or as I said, you are less likely to be killed by a jealous husband. If you live the godly, wise life and submit to authority, to the laws of our nation, you will generally live longer. We see over and over again, young people, what happens when you resist a police officer. Don't do it. Talk to Howard. Howard, raise your hand. Talk, young men especially. I want you to talk to this man about how you should interact with police officers. What you should do. How you should react. How you should act to honor God and honor the authority He's placed over you. Talk to that man. Don't listen to the television. Don't listen to the news. Talk to that man who loves Jesus and knows how to instruct you from a biblical worldview. Talk to Howard Wiggins. You'll live longer. You'll live longer. That's just reasonable consequences of living the godly, wise life. If you live the godly, wise life, you won't live a lifestyle of wickedness and gangs and drugs. Friend, it's surprising to me. Maybe it ought not to be surprising to me how people believe it's okay to use drugs, to use marijuana. As if God made that, and so it's okay to use it. Friends, God made great white sharks. I don't encourage you to go swimming with them. God made king cobras and pit vipers. I don't encourage you to go slither around with them in the grass. God made a lot of things that aren't really good for you to use in certain ways. Friends, and another thing that surprised me is when I preach this at Broad and Olney, it really makes people mad. When I tell them that marijuana is a sin, it is a sin on the level of drunkenness that will send you to hell just as fast as any other sin. Cocaine, heroin, those are sinful. They damage your body. Drunkenness, the Bible says drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what it is to use marijuana, to use heroin, to use these drugs. Friend, if you're here this morning and you're addicted to these drugs, we want to help you. We want to help you, as Ted always says, be more addicted to Jesus than any drug. And the godly wise life is to forsake those and follow Christ. And you can be forgiven if you repent. You can be saved. You can be set free from the chains of bondage to any of those drugs and be filled with the Holy Spirit and live for Him. If you live the godly wise life, you're going to turn away from drugs. You're going to turn away from laziness, turn away from gluttony, turn away from anger, turn away from murder, and then you're generally going to live longer. The reasonable consequences of living the godly wise life, you'll find riches. Finding God's wisdom and living according to God's wisdom means you will work hard. You will honor God with your money. You'll be good stewards with your resources. You won't waste your money on lottery tickets and gambling. You won't accumulate debt. And what that means generally is you'll have more than those who don't follow God's wisdom. The consequences of following God's wisdom, you'll be honored. If you live the godly wise life, you'll be humble. You'll be loving and therefore generally honored by people around you who know you. You'll be thought of well. And you'll have pleasantness and peace. God commands us to fight, to work, to be at peace with all people. And then there's the ultimate reward. There's the ultimate reward, as Jonathan Aiken has written about the Proverbs. Proverbs are promises that are generally true now, but are always ultimately true later. What about long life? What about long life? God, if we follow the Lord and seek godly wisdom, we will have a life that shall not end. The eternal life, John 3:36, Jesus says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Riches. Oh, what riches we will have in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7. In the first verses, we're told we're dead in trespasses and sins. We're children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of the grace of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So forever and ever and ever, God will show you the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards you in Christ Jesus. That's what we have to look forward to in the new heavens and the new earth. The riches are so great, so amazing, so precious, so infinite that it will take the coming ages for God to show you these amazing riches. And the more He shows you, the happier you'll be. And so happiness in heaven will increase forever. Ephesians 3:8. "To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." There are unsearchable riches of Jesus that we get to preach and proclaim and study. Colossians 1:27, "To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Wow, Christ in you, dear beloved Christian. That is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so there are riches waiting for you in Christ Jesus. Honor, what about honor? Did you know, Christian, that you will reign with Christ someday? How much more honor can you receive than that? You will reign with Him. You will reign with the living, sovereign Christ. 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12, "The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him." That is honor. And peace and pleasantness. All those who are in Christ Jesus will enjoy peace and pleasantness for all eternity. Revelation 21, 3 through 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Oh, friend, there will be perfect joy and peace and pleasantness, and no more sin, no more death, no more tears, no more anxiety, no more brokenheartedness, nothing. But only God and joy forevermore in His presence in the new heavens and the new earth, that we get to enjoy perfect peace and perfect pleasantness. And finally, our text tells us that this wisdom is a tree of life. She is a tree of life. Look at verse 18. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The tree of life in Proverbs represents gaining wisdom and knowledge, living a righteous life, like honoring God and others with your tongue. And the tree of life represents fulfilled desire. And we know what the tree of life represents in the book of Genesis. In Genesis and Revelation, the tree of life points to eternal life. Remember Genesis 3, 22 through 24, where Adam and Eve have sinned and God bars them from taking of the tree of life lest they should live forever. And so the tree of life points to life eternal. Genesis 3, 22 through 24, "Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life." And we see the tree of life emerge again at the end of Scripture in Revelation 2, 7. "To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." And so I'm exhorting you, come and eat from the tree of life today. Come and eat of the tree of life that leads to eternal life. Come lay hold of wisdom. Hold her tight. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. We're told in Colossians 2, verses 2 through 3, "Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Come to Him. Come to Him and embrace Him. Hold Him fast. Hold Him tight. Find joy and life and forgiveness and peace and riches and honor and salvation in Him. And let's think about Him for a little bit. Let's think about Jesus in light of our passage. You see, He died on a tree, not the tree of life, although it was the tree of cursing, but His death turned it into the tree of life. He died on a tree as the cursed one so that you might eat of the tree of life and live forever. There was no long life for Him. Crucified at the early 30s, there were no riches or honor for Him. He was stripped of everything He had, stripped naked, spit upon, beaten, whipped, crown of thorns put on His head. He was not honored. There was no pleasantness or peace for Him, for the wrath of Almighty God was showered down upon Him, crushing Him, striking Him, smiting Him, wounding Him. There was no blessing, no blessedness for Him on that cross, but only curse, only condemnation, only suffering, and only death. As the hymn writer writes, "On the mercy tree, on a hill called Calvary, there stands an endless mercy tree. Every broken, weary soul, find your rest and be made whole. Stripes of blood that stain its frame, shed to wash away our shame. From the scars, pure love released. Salvation by the mercy tree. You see, there's a judgment tree, and Jesus' death turned it into a mercy tree. A tree of life that all might come and eat of its leaves for the healing of the nations. And He didn't stay dead. He did not stay dead. He rose up from the grave. That's why we're here today. We're here on Sunday because our King got up from the tomb. He's not dead. He conquered sin, conquered death, conquered hell, lives forever, never to die again, to save everyone who will turn from sin and believe in Him. I don't care what you've done, how many drugs you've done, how many addictions you've suffered from, how many abortions you've had or performed, how many sins out of wedlock, sexual morality, addiction to pornography. Name your sin. If you come to the mercy tree, you can be forgiven. You can be saved. You can be changed. You can be healed through the mercy tree of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He rose up from the grave to live forever. And now He has all long life. All riches are His. All honor belongs to Him. All pleasantness and peace are His. All blessing is His. And it may be yours if you trust in Him and are found in Him. Jesus is the greatest desire. He's the tree of life we must acquire. He's worthy. His worth and beauty can't be higher. He's wisdom's glory, all entire. Hold wisdom tight to be so blessed. A tree of life to pass the test. She'll give you peace, eternal rest, and save you from death's sin's death request. Our wisdom is the Christ who's best. He's more precious than every treasure chest. He is the King in whom we're dressed. He's the one who passed the test. Though they would arrest, jest, and strip Him undressed, He was on salvation's quest. His Father's perfect love He expressed. When He died, God's wrath He addressed. He rose to save all those oppressed who trust in Him, He's Lord, confessed. He now gives peace to those distressed and pleasantness to those depressed. By His riches we're impressed. With highest honor He'll invest, long life forever filled with zest. So with His wisdom be obsessed. And then you will truly be blessed. Let's pray and ask God to do that in our lives. Father, Lord, we want to see it, Lord, what You're telling us today. We want to feel the promise of the blessedness of those who find wisdom. God, we want to see the preciousness of Your wisdom for what it really is. We want to live according to Your wisdom in all areas of our lives. So, Father, we pray by Your Spirit You would come to each one of us. And Lord, You would instruct us in ways, Lord, that we are not living according to Your wisdom. And we pray, oh God, that You would help us live for You. Live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Live according to Your wisdom. And that we would truly show with our lives that Your wisdom is what is most precious to us. In fact, Father, that You and Your Son and Your Spirit, You are what is most precious to us. So God, help us live this way by Your Spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, let's sing to our God and tell Him how precious He is to us. We're going to sing a song in this green hymnal. It's number 99, Lord, You Are More Precious Than Silver. Let's sing it twice with the piano. Sister Kathy. We're going to sing it twice with the piano and then once a cappella, okay? So let's stand and sing number 99 in the blue hymnal.